Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
On Thursday, he washed his disciples' feet and ate the Last Supper. On Friday, he was scourged and beaten, and he was crucified and buried. On Saturday, all of creation waited. And on Sunday, he rose from the grave. And we celebrate that every week, but we especially celebrate that today. And I'm thankful, so thankful that you are here this morning. It is so good to see you. It's so good to see our regular, beautiful faces. It's so good to see extended family who is here and worshiping with us. And it is so very good to see guests and friends. And we're thankful that you're here. And I hope that you will come again. Next week, I'm going to start a series out of Philippians on just the joy that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have joy because he's alive. And so I'd love for you to come back and be a part of us every week as we talk about that. I'll ask you, if you will, this morning to please check in with us. Our members will be doing that. You can do that with the card in front of you. You can do that online. You can do that with a QR code in the bulletin. If you're a guest with us, I would really appreciate it if you'd let us know who you are. We're not going to stalk you and bother you, but we would really, really like to know who you are and be able to pray for you and give thanks that you are here this morning. So please check in. For those of you who are joining us online this morning, welcome. And we're thankful that you're here as well. This morning, across the world, Christians are celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's just a good moment to state again what we believe and what we have staked our lives upon and why we are here to worship. Because we believe that Jesus, who has existed for eternity with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, that Jesus became a man. He was born of a virgin in Bethlehem. He grew up in Nazareth to become a man and listened to the call and commission of his Father and went out and ministered. He lived the only sinless, perfect life that anyone has ever lived. He willingly sacrificed himself. He tasted death for all of us. He tasted death on the cross, and he defeated death, and he defeated sin on the cross and in the resurrection. He was buried in a rich man's tomb. He was in the grave for 3 days, guarded by soldiers. And on the third day, God raised him in the spirit back to life, and he walked out of the tomb. He appeared to hundreds over the next 40 days, and then he ascended back to his Father, where at this very moment he sits at the right hand of God, reigning over all of creation, accepting the worship of those of us who adore him, and with power, he is interceding on our behalf, the behalf of his family. And so we are here to worship and adore that Lord Jesus Christ this morning. It's what we have put our confidence in. It's what we have put our faith in. It's what we have put our hope and our trust in. It is the good news of Jesus Christ who saves all of mankind. And so we are thankful to be able to do that this morning. I'm excited to be able to be here and do that this morning, to celebrate the resurrection. We're going to do that with some extended period of worship and praise. We're going to do that through hearing the word of God, the scriptures read. We're going to do that through prayer. We're going to do that through taking the bread and the cup. Jesus said, "This is my body and this is my blood." And we're going to remember that and give thanks for that. And then we're going to have a very special time. And if you're a guest with us, I want you to know about this because I want you to feel good about participating with us this morning. We're going to do what we call the flowering of the cross. You see the cross here behind me, stark and bleak, because that's what a cross is. But as an image of the resurrection, we're going to flower this cross and watch death become life. And so we have asked our members to bring flowers and greenery this morning. We have some extra that will be available. It should be up here on this table or maybe here on this table in a few minutes. If you're a guest with us and you didn't know about this and you didn't bring any flowers, we have made flowers available for you. And we would love it if you would participate with us. I think you'll find it very meaningful and very beautiful. That'll be later on in the service. And we'll explain that in a little more detail when we get to that point. But for now, Jesus is alive, and so let's worship and praise him together. Well, C.S. Lewis, among others, has posed the proposition that you must decide what you are going to do with Jesus. And that you really have three choices. Either he is a liar, he is a lunatic, or he is indeed the Lord. I'd like to tell you about a man this morning who knew Jesus intimately and who believed him to be a liar and a lunatic until the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ looked him in the eye, and then he believed him to be Lord. The resurrection changed everything for this man. He spent the rest of his life serving Jesus' church, and he died as a martyr, going to his death, professing that Jesus is Lord. The man's name is James, and he is the brother of Jesus. First time we meet James is in a synagogue in Nazareth, where he hears his brother, Jesus, quote a prophecy that comes from Isaiah and then roll up the scroll and say, to the astonishment and shock of everyone in the synagogue, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your presence." And James, while dealing with his own shock and his own dismay at hearing those words, the next thing he knows, everyone in the synagogue is pointing to him and his brothers and sisters and his mother, and they're saying, "Who does Jesus think he is? Because we know his family." And then it gets worse from there, because the more Jesus said, the angrier the congregation became, and James watched as they rose up in anger at Jesus and his blasphemy, and they ran him out of the synagogue and up to a high cliff outside the city, and with stones, they were ready to stone him and throw him off of the cliff. And somehow Jesus walked away from that situation. And then, to James and his family's dismay, Jesus begins to go all over Galilee and present himself as a rabbi. And he even called disciples to himself. And more, they heard people talking about their brother. And they heard people talking about a miracle they had seen Jesus perform. They heard people talking about a healing they had seen Jesus perform. They heard people talking about words that Jesus said and just marveling at his teaching. And his brothers and James heard all of this, and one of them said to the other, "He has lost his mind." And so they went out to find him. And they arrived where he was, and there was such a crowd who had gathered around Jesus that they through the crowd to let Jesus know that his family was outside. And James couldn't believe it when Jesus just dismissed them. He didn't come out, but he said, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" It's the ones who do the will of God. And on the way home, another said, "I think Jesus has lost his mind." And then, a couple of years into Jesus' ministry, I think in an effort to get him out of town, James and his brothers went to Jesus and they said, "You know what? You ought to leave Galilee. You obviously want to be a famous preacher. Nobody becomes famous in Galilee. you need to go to Judea. You need to go. That's where the action is. That's where people will really notice you. Why don't you go down and celebrate the Passover in Judea? And one of the John who records those words says, they said this because they did not believe in him. And that's where the Gospels leave James. Skeptic, mocking Jesus, wishing he would leave, an unbeliever. Either he's a liar or he's a lunatic. That's where the Gospels leave James. But the next time we see James, a dramatic turnaround, a dramatic transformation has taken place, because immediately after Jesus ascended, so 50 days after his death, immediately after Jesus ascended, we find out that James, along with his mother and his brothers, are there in the upper room. And then we find out 10 days later that James and his brothers are among the 120 on whom the Holy Spirit descended. So what happened between where we left him in the Gospels and where we find him in Acts? Something happened to transform James. How did this skeptic turn into a believer? Because sermons didn't do it. Miracles didn't do it. Healings didn't do it. But something did it, and that something was the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus transformed his brother James. He came face to face with Jesus and he believed. And Paul fills us in on the details over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul tells us that Jesus, during that 40 days, appeared to the 12, to the apostles. He appeared to over 500 people at one time in one setting. But as Paul talks about that, he only singles out three people by name. Himself, he says, Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. Jesus appeared to Peter. And Jesus appeared to his brother, James. The resurrected Jesus appeared to his brother, and James believed. How could he not? Because there in the flesh, alive, was his brother, who he thought was a liar and who he thought was a lunatic, and who now he believes is Lord. And not only did James believe, but James dedicated his life to following his brother and leading other followers. Some years later, when Paul was visiting Jerusalem after he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, he says in Galatians, he sought out two people. He sought out Peter and he sought out the brother of Jesus, James. 14 years later, when there was this dispute that had to be settled about the gospel being preached to the Gentiles, and all of us in this room, I'm pretty sure, are Gentiles, and so we have James to be thankful for in this episode, because Paul went back to Jerusalem, and it says he sought out the pillars of the faith, and again he mentions James by name. And there was this heated debate and discussion, and both sides made their case, and Peter got up and spoke very eloquently. But when everybody had had their say and sat down, James spoke up quietly, and his word carried the day. And you get the idea as you read in Acts chapter 15, where this episode is described, that James was this wise man. He was this respected leader. And that when he spoke, people listened. And that after listening to him, after him listening, after him praying, after him reflecting on the scriptures, that he came to a just and to a practical conclusion that helped settle the matter. It's interesting also to me that when Paul remembers that episode, and he remembers James and the others sending them off to preach to the Gentiles, he says, James left us with these parting words. After everything had been said, James said, remember the poor. If you read the letter of James, because he wrote a letter in our Bible, if you read the letter of James, You're going to see in that letter a very genuine concern for the poor. A very genuine concern for those who are less than. In fact, about a quarter of the book talks about concern for the poor. And that honestly chastises the rest of us for favoritism based on wealth. And he confronts the rich with their greed and their apathy and their pride. It's interesting that the only other person in the New Testament who talks as much about the poor is his brother Jesus. And we know all of this that I've shared with you from Scripture. From tradition, we learn some other things. We get a similar picture of James as an elder and as a leader in Jerusalem, a man who cared about the city, who cared about the poor of the city. That all of the apostles were scattered in the persecution after Stephen's death, but James remained with his flock. God sent the rest, but he chose James to stay. And James was so respected, tradition tells us, so respected in the city for his wisdom, for his piety, for his holy life, that he was allowed to go in and out of the temple unmolested as he prayed and as he worshiped. Even as the decades went on and the tension between the Jews and the followers of Jesus increased. And one of the names that tradition tells us he was called is Old Camel Knees. Now that sounds really strange to us, but he was called that because there were calluses on his knees because he spent so much time in the temple on his knees praying that his fellow Jews would come to believe in the resurrected Lord Jesus. He was loved in the city. James led that church in Jerusalem for 30 years. He was loved for his holy life, for his concern for the poor. But in the end, a small group who hated him accused him of blasphemy and stoned him. And in imitation of his brother, his last words were to pray that God would forgive them for what they did. And he was mourned by all the people, Christian and Jew alike, and called James the Just. What a remarkable story of the transformation that can take place in a person when they come face to face with the resurrected Lord Jesus. They're never the same again. They're changed from inside to out. And as they faithfully follow Jesus and imitate his ways and his words, they began to look more and more like him. And that's what happened to James, the brother of Jesus. This embarrassed and mocking skeptic of a brother becomes a devoted follower and worshiper of Jesus and leader of his people. And he gave his life professing that Jesus is Lord. That this boy that he grew up with had indeed come from God and has now gone back to God. And so that's a remarkable demonstration. We're about to witness a demonstration of that kind of transformation. And many of you have brought flowers and greenery. And again, if you haven't, we've got plenty up here to share. Just watch and see what happens and then follow along. We're going to sing some songs together. We're going to use this time to watch. We're going to use this time to think, to pray, to think about Jesus on the cross, to think about Jesus and the resurrection, to think about this move that God makes that goes against the way of the world. The way of the world is you're born into life and then you die, but the way of Jesus and his kingdom is that you move from death to life. We're going to watch and see that Jesus can take something that is dark and destructive, and he can turn it into something that is transforming and full of life. And so at some point during these songs, I invite you to come up when you're ready. Come up and place your flowers on the cross. When you do that, step back a little bit. Last year, a lot of people stayed up here, and I think that's a beautiful thing when we just stay up here, and by the end, we're all up here worshiping. but step back and make sure others have room to come up. You can go back to your seat, obviously, if you want to. There's no right or wrong way to do this. But I hope that you will be blessed this morning. And I hope that you, like James, will be transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ.
The cross, our way to freedom. The cross, our wrath to bear. But God, so rich in mercy, took our place and saved us there. Lift him high, all praise to Jesus. Lift him high for all to see. Lift him high, the cross of Calvary, where mercy died to set us free. Our King, who reigns victorious, now sits upon his throne. Forever he is worshipped. Glory to our God alone.
Lift him high.
Lift him high, all praise to Jesus. Lift him high for all to see. Lift him high, the cross of Calvary, where mercy died to set us free. All the saints adore you. Heaven bows before you. Worthy is the great I am. All the saints adore you. Heaven bows before you. Worthy is the great I am. All the saints adore you. Heaven bows before you. Worthy is the great I am. All the saints adore you. Heaven bows before you. Worthy is the great I am. Lift him high, all praise to Jesus. Lift him high for all to see. Lift him high, the cross of Calvary, where mercy died to set us free.
Lift him high.
Lift him high, all praise to Jesus. Lift him high for all to see. Lift him high, the cross of Calvary, where mercy died to set us free. Mercy died to set us free. Mercy died to set us free. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on the tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified, freely forever, one day he's coming, oh glorious day. One day the grave could conceal him no longer.
One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord, evermore. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's come. He is Lord. He's our King. He's our King. He is reigning over us, and He's our King. We adore. Raise a victory banner, for the war is won. Come and celebrate what the Lord has done. For the joy before Him, He endured the cross. He was thinking of every one of us. Glory to Jesus, all praise to His holy name, all honor forever to the Lamb, the Christ, the King. He bore all our burdens, suffered all our shame, left the fear of death in man.
Just let you have a moment to take a breath and to just gaze. really is a beautiful transformation. And that really is the kind of transformation that has happened to people in this very room. It's the kind of transformation that's happened to me. And this morning, there may be someone here who's ready for that kind of transformation to happen to them. To decide that I believe that Jesus is Lord. That He died on a cross. He gave His life. He broke His body. He shed His blood. And that in that act of sacrifice to God, Jesus was the Lamb of God, and He took away the sins of the world, and He will take away your sins. To believe that. To believe that He was buried and that He tasted death. Our greatest enemy is death. We were not created for death. We were created for life. We were created for eternal life. But death entered the picture. And Jesus faced death in the face and conquered death by tasting death for us. He defeated death by death. And the Old Testament says that like the dawn, He will come. And on that dawn of the first day of the week, on that Sunday morning, Jesus rose from the grave. The Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit, raised Him to life. And He walked out of a grave. And He began to show Himself and to appear and to make Himself known. And then He commissioned us to go and to tell the story I just told. It's the story that has the power to transform your life. And so we're just going to sing a verse or two of a song. And if you this morning are ready to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and if you're ready to act on that faith and humble yourself to be baptized, it's just participating in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. God will do the work, and He will wash your sins away, and He will save you, and He will fill you with His Holy Spirit and begin this kind of transformation in your life. And so if you want to respond today and be baptized, we're going to sing. I just want you to come and sit up on the front row. And we will follow up with you there. Let's sing together. Please respond. Jesus, I-